The world around us is governed by laws, you know, laws of physics, laws of nature, and we experience those laws all the time. And we actually depend upon them, and you know, we learn to live by them and to expect these laws. You know, we know that if there's a baseball flying towards our head, you know, we better either catch it or we better duck, because an object in motion stays in motion unless acted on by another force. So, you know, we know how things work. You know, if we heat water, we know that it's going to boil when it hits 212 degrees. We know if we cool it, it's going to freeze when it hits 32 degrees. You know, we know that you shouldn't touch a live electrical wire because you're going to get shocked. And, you know, if I hold a book out and I let it go, we all know it's going to fall and it's going to hit the ground. You know, there's all these laws of nature around us, and we generally know how things work, and we depend upon these laws. You know, I can't just reach out my hand and create a ball of fire in the middle of the air. You know, that'd be pretty awesome if I could, you know, have a swirling ball of fire, but it violates the laws of nature. You can't create fire out of nothing. But one of the major factors that made Jesus Christ's public ministry so shocking and so amazing for the eyewitnesses was that he wasn't bound by these laws. And when Jesus Christ stepped out on a lake, he didn't sink like a rock. He walked on water. You know, when he reached out and touched a leper, the leper was cleansed. You know, human touch does not have the ability to take away a bacterial infection from somebody. But when Jesus Christ reached out and touched the leper, it was gone. And at his word, a storm died down and the violent sea instantly became calm. And what this reveals as people were witnessing this is that the laws of nature are not absolute. They can be manipulated. They can be suspended. They can be changed. And the world as we know it, the world that as we've always seen it and always lived in it, it doesn't have to be that way. That there is a power that's deeper and more profound and more important that permeates the universe than what we see in the material world. And with Jesus Christ, people witnessed that he was the master of that power. That he was the one who had the ability to manipulate the laws of nature. Because ultimately, he's the one who created them. And nothing revealed this more clearly as the empty tomb. And if any of us have ever buried a loved one, we know that once we put them in the grave, that we won't see them again in this world. Death is final. If there's any law of nature that can't be violated, it's that one. And that's why it was so incredible and why people were so shocked when after two nights in the tomb, Jesus Christ on the third day comes out of the tomb radiant in glory with a resurrected body. In an actual historical event that had eyewitnesses, and we can go to Jerusalem to this very day and we can go in the tomb and see the empty tomb where there is no body because Jesus Christ is risen. The resurrection is the supreme sign of the power and the kingship of Jesus Christ over all of creation. And so it shouldn't be any wonder that people were amazed, that they were confused. Some of them were frightened at Jesus Christ because suddenly they saw the one who had power over creation. And to witness the risen Lord, to see someone who can do that, would definitely change people's entire worldview and their entire view of reality. If we look into the Old Testament and we look at a figure like Abraham, Abraham had the level of faith that he was able to recognize that God was supreme over the powers of nature. When his wife Sarah was 90 years old, God promised that he would have an heir through her. And Abraham believed. Because he had a faith that was deep enough that he knew that God had the power to overcome the laws of nature. And something that we know, a 90-year-old woman is never going to conceive and bear a son. But he believed that God had power over the laws of nature and that it would happen. And when he was called to sacrifice his son Isaac, he had been promised that he would have descendants through Isaac. And he had the faith to believe that after he had driven a knife through his son's heart, and offered him up as a burnt offering, that somehow God would still provide him with heirs through his son. He still believed in the promise, and he believed in the God that had power over the laws of nature and over the laws of creation. And that's why Abraham is our father in faith, because he had that deep faith in God that was deeper than the natural laws around us. And that's the faith that each one of us is called to have in Jesus Christ. We're called to a faith that, witnessing the reality of the resurrection, we put our faith in Jesus Christ as the one who has absolute power over creation, and an acknowledgement that there are laws that are deeper and more powerful than anything in the material world. You know, the faith in the resurrection of Jesus Christ changes our entire concept of reality. And in particular, as we look at the resurrection, it should give us a faith in immortality. That there is a form of life that Jesus Christ promises us that death does not take away. We call this life sanctifying grace. And if we have that grace within our soul, and it's that grace that comes first through faith in God, and second through the sacraments, through baptism, and if we lose that grace through confession, it's a life that does not end with death. And that form of life will be revealed fully at the end of time, when this creation will come to an end. The final trumpet will sound. This world will cease to exist and will be recreated. And the dead will arise and be reunited with their bodies. And those who are living united with Jesus Christ, with sanctifying grace in their souls, will reign with him forever. Today, as we celebrate this feast day of Easter, we give thanks for all those who were baptized last night and received into the church. We had 3 baptisms and 11 people received into the church and receiving confirmation. And so we give thanks that they have received the risen life of Jesus Christ, and that they have received a form of life that is beyond anything in this material world. And we also give thanks to God that we who are baptized and we who receive the Eucharist, the gift of God's life, have access to that life. And we recognize that the laws of this world, the laws of creation, are not absolute, and they do not have the final say. The final say and the ultimate power over creation rests in Jesus Christ, who had power over all creation and power even over death. So we give thanks for his resurrection, that he conquered death on this day, and that he has promised immortality to those who love him and those who serve him.